Jesus continuing his parables. Again, Jesus at this point is in the temple area in Jerusalem. It would have been the Tuesday of Holy Week, March 31st of 33 AD, most likely. And again, we heard last week about the vineyard and the tenants in the vineyard. This parable comes right after that. It's kind of debate. It seems like if you read the Gospels carefully, this parable, it seems he's addressing not only to the chief priests and the elders, but all the people that are there in front of him, listening to him talk, speak. Jesus trying to really share with them really important things, because basically he's going to go to his death. Jesus will go to his death that Friday. So he's kind of giving his last kind of important points. That he's telling the people and all the Jews that are there, people that are there. And he tells us about the wedding feast, the wedding banquet. And it's actually, it seems like he's prefiguring the wedding feast, the wedding banquet at the end of time. Remember, the church in Jesus has referred to himself as being the bridegroom. The church is his bride. So if you think about that, that at the end of time, there's going to be a wedding banquet between God, Jesus, and his church. Remember, the church, again, is the mystical body of Christ. And we get that, again, Jesus says, the kingdom of heaven is like a wedding feast. Kingdom of heaven basically being the church with Jesus as his head, the mystical body of Christ, the church, and Jesus is the head of that. So he's telling them about this wedding banquet. And the wedding of the Lamb at the end of time, basically. Kind of telling how that's going to progress, how that's going to look like. And he talks about the king who his son's going to get married. Now you can view the king as God the Father. And his son is, of course, Jesus. And so the king summons the invited guests. So there were invited guests. You have to look back in history. The Old Testament, God had chose the Israelites as the chosen people. He had chosen them. He really wanted them to eventually to follow after Jesus. That's what Jesus, you know, Jesus came. And Jesus told them, hey, I'm the basically, he kind of said this by how what he did. I'm the Messiah. Remember the incident in John 6 where Jesus says, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you won't have eternal life. And after that, many Jews left. Jesus wanted them, the Jews, certainly all of us, but the Jews, he really had focused on the Jews, really. It's like, hey, I'm inviting you to this wedding banquet, to the church, to be a member of the church, to be one of my disciples. You know, that's the thing, you know, Jesus did come to found a church. And the apostles certainly are the first bishops, but all the disciples, all of his disciples were the first members of that church, members of the mystical body of Christ. So he had that invite out there, and many of the Jews rejected it, just like we hear in the gospel, the parable. There were many invited, but they refused to come. And then the king sends out other servants. And these servants are, you know, they're basically, some are ignored and the others are killed. Well, you think about this, that after Jesus dies on the cross, his apostles were persecuted. The disciples of the church, the early Christians, Paul was going around rounding up the Christians. They were being persecuted. And some were killed. James the Greater, he was martyred in Jerusalem in 44 A.D., so he was killed. So it's like this parable is kind of foreshadowing what's to come. And then Jesus, you know, in the parable talks about how the king basically destroys the people and burns their city. Well, if you go forward in time to 70 AD, what happened to the Jews is they revolted against the Romans. Not a good idea. And of course, the Romans destroyed a lot of them, killed them. You know, in Jerusalem, the Romans surrounded Jerusalem, and a lot of Jews were killed. And then the Romans burned down the city. They leveled it, basically. So in a certain sense, Jesus is kind of foreshadowing that here. in this parable. And then Jesus goes on to say about how then the king says, go out and just invite anybody. Invite whoever wants to come, the good and the bad. And so that's kind of likened to, going out to the Gentiles and saying, hey, everybody's invited to the church. Everybody's invited. Some people say, well, I never was asked. Everybody has the opportunity to be invited, to acknowledge and come to the church. And we hear about this one individual who eventually comes, and this individual is not wearing a wedding garment. What is that? What's a wedding garment? Do they all have to wear certain garments? Well, I looked this up, and it says the scholars say that what the king would have done is he would have given everybody who was invited a wedding garment to wear. So they were all supposed to come in their wedding garments, and the king provided this. And so the one that didn't come, he came, but he didn't wear the proper garment. What's going on with that? But one of the things about the wedding garment is it basically covered up your status. People would have different clothes, and they would have status symbol of what they wore, potentially. So a wedding garment, everyone would wear this, and it would be sort of like equal, and they can converse with one another in a better sense. There wasn't this, tiers where you had these cliques or whatever. They would all kind of converse together. So what's with this individual who doesn't wear the wedding garment? Well, for one, if the king asks you to wear a wedding garment, you better wear a wedding garment to the feast. Jesus asks us all, as when we're invited to become a member of the church, there's certain things that we have to follow, right? And some people think, well, I don't need to do this or I don't need to do that. It's like the church has got, like, for marriage, there's certain things people have to do to get married in the church. Or, we're supposed to come to Mass every week, on holy days too. It's like, okay, we're supposed to do that. If that's what the Father wants, let's do it. Or go to the sacrament confession. The church was left to help us to be saved. So we want to do that to which the Father asked. It's like, okay, we're going to go to Mass every week and go to confession on a regular basis and learn about our faith, grow in our faith, do these things. If God asks us to do that, we better do them. Don't think, oh, well, I know better. There's people that think they know better. So we don't want to be in that camp. Because what happens? What happens to the individual? They're kicked out of the wedding feast, the wedding banquet. And there's wailing and grinding of teeth. That term is used elsewhere in the scripture. It's like having lost the opportunity to get to heaven. That's in part what hell is. People, it talks about hell, about wailing and grinding of teeth. It's like wailing. It's like you miss the opportunity to get to heaven because the individual didn't follow what God had asked. And, grinding of teeth, it's just like when we get frustrated or we have regrets. Just think about that. It's like, why didn't I do that? Why was I so prideful? That's one of the things, about pride. It's like, why didn't I just follow what God asked? Pride can get in there. That's what happened, to the devil. Like, prideful. It's like, I know better. Now, so this is one of the things is if we want to be part of that wedding banquet, we follow what God asked us. It's quite simple. It's not easy, but it's simple as to what we're called to do. So really, we ask God to really help us. Lord, help all of us really to follow all that you have asked. Help us to come to that wedding banquet properly prepared to wear that white garment. In the book of Revelation, it talks about the white garments and how those before the Lamb of God will have their white garments on, which again you can indicate is a sign of purity of heart. It's like our hearts are pure. We really, really want to love the Lord and do all that he has commanded us. And that's one thing about purgatory. Purgatory purges us of those effects of sins. And so we're purified so we can come before the Lord in that proper wedding garment. So we just ask, Lord, help all of us really to be members of that church, to put on that white garment, to be properly prepared so that all of us one day are part of that wedding.